I'd like to begin by telling you the purpose for this message. It is to show that what goes on in our mind determines who we are as a person. To say this differently would be our thoughts determine our character. To say it another way would be, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. All these mean the same thing. We are the end product of the way we think and the thoughts we allow into our mind. When we are called into the church, God changes our thinking. God's Spirit changes the way we think and changes what goes on in our mind. So why does this happen? We are being created in the spiritual likeness of God. He is working with us as a potter works with clay. He is molding and shaping us into something very special. In the first chapter of Genesis, the great plan and purpose of God is revealed. I'm not going to turn there, but in a very few words, we read God saying, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." As members of God's church, we have begun the process of growing in the likeness of God, meaning his spiritual likeness. The very character of God has begun to grow within us. We are to grow in the likeness of God so that we can be born into his family. That's an awesome thing. That is our destiny. That is God's plan and purpose for each one of us. When God created man from the dust of the ground, that was the easy bit. That was the easy part. The spiritual creation of man in his likeness is the great challenge. This challenge is so difficult that even God, with almighty power, will not be totally successful. There will be some failures. We will see why in just a moment. Importantly, growing in the likeness of God has everything to do with the way we think and what goes on in our thoughts and in our heart. At the heart and core of this challenge is this: we have been given free choice. And free choice is dangerous. We have freedom to choose what we think and the way we think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the title of this message is, "As a Man Thinks in His Heart." That's the title. And the purpose: to show that our thoughts determine our character. Let's go to our first scripture in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. This proverb shows the kind of person we should not have as a close friend. Let's read verse 6 and verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 6. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. Verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Verse 6 can be translated as follows. Do not eat the bread of one who has an evil eye. That's an alternative translation. Why does this person have an evil eye? Because of the way he thinks in his heart. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. This shows that the thoughts, his thoughts, determined his character. We have come to the feast to learn about the great plan of God for us and for this world. But let's ask this important question. What is the greatest human influence that will determine our ultimate destiny? We could say our education, or we could say the church, we could say our friends and family, or our background. While all of these have an influence on us, our greatest influence will be what we think in our heart and what goes on in our mind. This is a law that God created, a psychological law. While this law works for our good and for our salvation, it can also work against us. The classic example was the fall of Lucifer. We will see in a moment how that happened. His fall had everything to do with the way he was thinking and the thoughts he allowed in his heart. Ultimately, his thoughts determined his character and who he became as a person. It appears that Lucifer was the pinnacle of God's creative ingenuity, a masterpiece of design and beauty. We have a description in Ezekiel 28. I won't turn there. But here is a description. Number one, he was the seal of perfection. Number two, he was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Number three, in addition to his beauty, he had a mass of jewelry to make his appearance more spectacular. Number four, he could broadcast harmonic music from himself without playing an instrument. Number five, he was the anointed cherub who originally covered the throne of God in heaven, and was later assigned authority over the angelic host here on the earth. Now let's see what happened. Isaiah 14. Let's go there next. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Remember, we are looking at the psychological law, which says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We will see how this now applied to Lucifer. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how are you cut down to the ground, you who did weaken the nations? Now let's see what was going on in his mind. What was he thinking about? Verse 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the furthest sides of the north. Do we see the problem? What he said in his heart is what he was thinking. What he had on earth, here on earth, you see, was not enough. He wanted more. He wanted to ascend to heaven, where God's throne is. He wanted to be above the angels of heaven. He became the great adversary because of the way he was thinking. Verse 14. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Great vanity. Notice that he was planning to ascend above the clouds. That means he was here on the earth. We know the rest of the story. Lucifer fell from righteousness by the way he was thinking and the thoughts he allowed in his heart. We can now see how this law can work against us for our destruction. But we can rejoice because the opposite is also true. This law also works for our good and for our salvation. As we study God's word and are led by his Spirit, we learn how God thinks. His thoughts become our thoughts. And so we grow in the spiritual likeness of God. The great challenge we face is this. Our thinking has been programmed by this world before God called us. Here is an example. It has been said that a child taught by one of the great religions of this world up to the age of 12 will always belong to that religion. That's because of how they train the child to think in their heart. In a different way, this applies to all of us. We were all part of this world and the education of this world before God called us. We were educated with false values and wrong ideas, thinking they were right. These thoughts can hold us back. The thoughts that continue in our mind can be a stumbling block to our progress. They can prevent us from growing in the likeness of God. And yet, this powerful influence that holds us back is the same powerful influence that moves us forward. It depends on how we are thinking and the thoughts we allow in our heart. Let's go now to Romans 12. This is the last scripture, Romans 12. At the resurrection, according to the great plan of God for us, our human body will be transformed into the likeness of God's body. That's an awesome thing. But before that happens, we have to be transformed here in our mind, in the way we think. Let's read verse 2, Romans 12. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Here is a direct command from God not to be conformed to this world. Instead, we must prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God from God's word. With the help of God's Spirit, we learn true values. The true values bring real success, real happiness, real peace of mind, real harmony, a more fulfilling and a more abundant life. By contrast, this world feeds on the mind of Satan. He is broadcasting. This world is unhappy. This world is in pain. But we are called out of this world. The life of Lucifer moved from righteousness to unrighteousness. We are traveling in the opposite direction. We are moving from unrighteousness to righteousness. And that's the great challenge we have. In closing, God gave us a human body without his help. He is going to give us a spiritual body without our help. But he cannot give us his character without our help. He cannot fashion us into his spiritual likeness and to his character without our free choice. As the clay yields to the hand of the potter, so our thoughts must yield to God. And so the great plan and purpose of God will be fulfilled in us. As Satan thinks in his heart, so is he. As God thinks in his heart, so is he. What about us? Well, we will determine our own destiny by what goes on in our heart. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.